Welcome back. A lot of you were absent last week on vacation. We're glad you're back. Still have some out. Hope they have safe trips. Have a few out sick. We want to be mindful of them. For those of you who are visiting, we're certainly proud that you're with us today and invite you to be back at any opportunity you have. We do have some visitors with us today, and we're glad you're here. I'm not going to take all the announcements, but next Sunday begins our Vacation Bible School. We'll run Sunday night through Wednesday night, and next Sunday we'll begin at 7 o'clock. So we'll have our service at 7 o'clock next Sunday night, classes for adults through our children. But on Wednesday night, we will have our class at 6 o'clock. Class at 6, and then we'll eat after. And so again, we'll have adult classes and classes for all ages. And so we want to invite you to come and invite your family and your neighbors, both young and old, to come be with us for Vacation Bible School next week, beginning next Sunday, 1 week from today, on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. We'll be studying from the book of Joshua together. Studying from the book of Joshua. So come and be prepared for that. And it'll be a fun time, an exciting time, and a time to learn together. We're going to look at a little geography and a little history this morning as we prepare to launch into the Sermon on the Mount. And I've got some pictures that we'll kind of look at. We'll kind of be a little bit of a class format this morning to look. These are going to be pictures from Mount Arvel, which sits on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Galilee. These pictures are taken from the top of Mount Arvel, but will give you kind of an idea of the area of Galilee. And the reason I want to do that is, one, I hope you find it interesting. If you're not into history and geography, just 1 week. But we'll kind of see where things are, because as Matthew sets the stage to record for us the Sermon on the Mount, he begins to tell the area where these people are coming, because Jesus' fame, I guess for lack of a better term, is spreading. He's healing diseases and people are coming. People are coming to hear him preach from Judea and from the Galilee and from areas outside of the promised land. And so it's kind of interesting to see those things, and we can kind of look at those for a moment this morning and kind of see, where does Jesus spend most of his ministry, and where are these people coming from, and where did some of these events take place? So Mike is going to bring up some pictures for us. Again, this is from the top of Mount Arvel, and we'll see some of these more than one. We don't take a lot of time on every slide. There's not all that many of them, but we'll kind of look. We're on, again, the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. We're going to see in just a second. It's right to our right as we look off. But you can see the mountains in the back. There you go. Thank you, Mike. That range of mountains to the back. This is coordination now. You don't get this everywhere. Those mountains are called, guess what mountains those are called? The Galilean Mountains. Because what's the most prominent feature in Galilee that we're familiar with? It's the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Galilee is really a little better term for it. It's a lake that sits kind of in this valley that the Jordan River flows into from Dan to the far north, which is an area. Dan is kind of like Gatlinburg. It's in the mountains and it's wooded and it's really kind of beautiful. It's kind of a peaceful, but there are streams, and it flows into the Sea of Galilee, and then the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan, flows out of the Sea of Galilee and flows down to the Dead Sea. So Galilee is a lake, and it is really what drives this area. Fishing and agriculture drive this area. But the area is named for the mountain range. That's where it drives its name. Because Galilee means wavy. And so these are the wavy mountains. And so the area of Galilee gets its name from the mountains. Like, what do we call eastern Kentucky, east Tennessee, western North Carolina, up in even into the northeast? That's called the Appalachians, right? Named for the mountain range. And so Galilee gets its name from the mountain range. Now, you can see in this picture, and we'll see it better, you see all of the green in this valley, kind of to my right, to this lower side. Let's go on to the next slide. All right, see how green this valley is. That's obviously the Sea of Galilee to my right. All of this valley is green and fertile. And when you read in the scripture, the area of Gennesaret, that is the Gennesaret Valley. And it literally means the valley of the rich man. That's what that word means, the valley of the rich man. Because in this area, that's the most fertile land in the area. And you can see that it's green, and right now they're growing all kinds of stuff. And so in Galilee, not only do we have fishing, but we've got agriculture in a fairly large-scale way. Because when God says to Abraham, I'm going to send you a land that does what? Flows with milk and honey. A land that's fertile. And we kind of think of it as all being desert. But it's not. In fact, it's quite fertile. And the land is black. The dirt is black. If you can get it water, it grows pomegranates, bananas, sunflowers, figs, dates, barley, wheat. If you can just get water, and it rains some in the Galilee, especially in the winter, and they've learned to drip irrigate, but if you get it water, it will grow. I was surprised at how dark the soil is in this area, but it's very, very fertile. Now, it's interesting. When does the wheat and barley grow in this part of the world? In wintertime. Because we think of harvest being when? In the fall, right? When do we celebrate Thanksgiving? November. What's Thanksgiving about? Celebrating a good year, celebrating a harvest, right? Normally by Thanksgiving, a lot of the crops are in. It's a time to celebrate. Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, where it got the name Pentecost, is a celebration of the harvest, and it occurs in the spring. Because winter is when they get their rains and their climate is mild. And so when you see people threshing wheat, it's not in the fall, it's in the spring. And so this area is fertile, gets rains in the winter especially. And so here is the Gennesaret Valley. This little cluster right on the Sea of Galilee, right above my fingers. Mike, can you, right there. That's the city of Capernaum. It's the city of Capernaum. What's significant about Capernaum? That's where Jesus focuses. That's his headquarters during his ministry. He's born in Bethlehem, but he lives up in Nazareth, way up north, right up in that area. That's where Nazareth is, kind of away from the sea. But when he begins his ministry, he comes down to Capernaum. That's the city of James and John, of Peter and Andrew. That's where their fishing boats would have been. You know, if they're coming home, right along this coast that you see, that's where Jesus is walking, where he says, come and I will make you fishers of men. That's where it happened. Right there. So, again, it's agricultural, there's fishing, and right here to the north, along that northern shore, is where most folks believe that the Sermon on the Mount took place. There are gentle rolling hills. A little bit to the east of what's seen in this picture is a church that is built to commemorate the Sermon on the Mount. Nobody knows exactly the spot. And here's the thing about the Sermon on the Mount. Was that one speech that Matthew recorded, one sermon, or was that kind of a compilation of sermons? I don't know that it matters, because it's political time in our county, in our state, and in our country. And so I guarantee you, if you went around with a candidate every day, what are you going to hear? A lot of the same things. We would call it a stump speech, right? That has a lot of the same points, maybe almost exactly the same. Depending on where you were, you might change illustrations, you might add something, but it's the core of your message. So the Sermon on the Mount is the core of Jesus' teaching. Now, whether he delivered it always all in one speech, or whether Matthew said, I'm going to bring this core message together, really doesn't matter. These are the core teachings of Jesus about how people of the kingdom live. And we'll talk more about that. But Jesus would have preached up to the north. All right, Mike. That's just looking at the sea. You can see it's not extremely large. And you can see across the sea. But there are mountains to the north. We're going to look around here in just a second. We're going to see more mountains. And you can't see over those mountains. And so a storm could come up very quickly over the mountains. And by the time it gets there, you can't get back to shore. That's why the sea was dangerous. Why even experienced fishermen could get caught. Because, you know, it's right there. I can remember, and it happened this week a time or two. But I can remember it being younger, out bush hogging or out in the field. And Dad looking up and saying, the hills are white. We better get ourselves back to the barn. Because what did you know was coming? There was rain, and those hills would turn white with rain. And you've seen it. You know, younger hadn't paid attention. You knew it was time to get back to the barn. But if you're right at the hill and you can't see over it, all of a sudden, it's on you. And if it's moving fast, cedar trees will keep you somewhat dry. Because I have squatted under a cedar tree many times to try to stay dry. But that's why storms would come up, because the sea sits kind of in a bowl. It's in a bowl. Not unlike Murfreesboro sits in a bowl. All right, Mike. Now, we're looking across the Sea of Galilee. Obviously, we're at the same place. So if we're sitting here, Capernaum is right here. Tiberias is right over here. The mountains are right back this way. And the Gennesaret Valley is running here down to the sea. What we're looking at over there would be now part of Israel. At least Israel says it is. Do you know what those mountains, or what those, it's actually a rise, it's a mountain, and there's a plateau on the top of that. It is flat on the top of that. There are articulating tractors on top of that. When I say that, I'm talking about the big ones that turn in the middle, because we still think about the Middle East as what? Probably still farming with mules, because that's the picture we see with the donkeys. I'm talking about great big plows and discs and great big, you know, hundreds of horsepower tractors that are running on top of that plateau. It's called the, do you know, in modern day terms, it's not the West Bank, it's the Golan Heights. If you've watched the nightly news any time since 1967, you're familiar with the Golan Heights. Because in the Six-Day War, it would have been the Four-Day War, because the last 2 days, Israel took the Golan Heights. Israel is the only country in the world that recognizes the Golan Heights as part of Israel. Everybody else says they took that and they weren't supposed to take it and it's not theirs. But here's the deal. They are continuing to negotiate about giving it back. They've been negotiating that since 1967. But they're still up there farming and exporting that agriculture every day. But it's flat as it can be. But that's the Golan Heights that we read about in modern time. When you read in your Bibles about the Decapolis, and that was part of what Sam read for us, people from the Decapolis. That area is known as the Decapolis. Deca means 10, because it was controlled by 10 city-states. So it was called the Decapolis, or the land of the Gadarenes. Because we read, and the name I just love to say, so I'm going to say it at least once, maybe two or three times, the Gadarene demoniac. Isn't that, doesn't that just roll? The Gadarene demoniac. Remember the man who lived in the cemetery and threw himself in the fires and all kind of things that they cast the demon out of him? He was from the land of the Gadarenes. That's it. There's one other name, and I'm sorry, it's not Gennesaret, it's the Gadarenes, and I'll think of it, I mean, it starts with a G, it sounds like Gadarenes, but it has S's in it. But that's the land you read about. Now, it's interesting. One of the feedings of the multitudes took place there. And those people are not Jewish. They're not Jewish. The feeding of the 5,000 takes place in the land of the Gadarenes, in the Decapolis. Because Jesus, because you read often in the Gospels where they would put off and go to the other side of the lake, right? Well, that would be the area from which they were coming most of the time, coming back to Capernaum. Jesus would go there. Let's back up one picture, Mike. All right, we've got this area who is controlled by Philip Antipas. All right? The area off to the north is controlled by Herod Philip. Remember, we talked the other day about after Herod the Great dies, the kingdom is divided into four areas to each one of his sons. They're called tetrarchs. All right? And so the kingdom is divided four. So this is one political subdivision. To the north is a separate subdivision. The next one, the Golan Heights, the land of the Decapolis, is another political subdivision. And what we often see, Jesus can go, it's almost like sitting right here. And if you get mad at me for something I said or did, I can go right over here to Wilson County. And let's, you know, now we kind of cross county lines, but it hadn't been that long you didn't cross county lines, law enforcement, whatever. So I could go to Wilson County and avoid the heat. Or I could go to Cannon County and avoid the heat. Well, it's almost the same thing. We'll see Jesus moving between these areas. While they're not very far geographically, they are politically very different, and there are political boundaries where soldiers and law enforcement of the time couldn't cross. So you'll see that when the people get riled up, Jesus will move from one place to another. Or when the people want to make him king, as in the feeding of the multitudes, he, remember, sends the disciples on, he disperses the crowd, and then he comes, moves to a completely different area. Now, obviously, people can move around because Jesus would come across, and they could kind of move fairly freely, but it is politically different. We're not used to that, because even if we move across states here, we know they're different, and they're different jurisdictions, but things don't really change. But I can tell you where this came to light for me was going from France to Spain. And it would be like, you know, there's a border crossing, and it's like from here to the houses just right up the road here, okay? And their architecture is totally different than ours because that boundary changed. I mean, we've got one kind of architecture. They've got a different one. And from here to there, they speak a totally different language because for centuries, there's been a border that you could not freely cross. And while you can see each other, your culture is very different. Well, here, they're going to be very similar because of same area and some same heritage, but these people are going to be somewhat different because of a different political background, and Jesus will move among those different places in his ministry. And we read about it in the gospel, that he moves from one area to another. But that's the Golan Heights, that's the area of the Gadarenes. All right, Mike. This is looking back, away from the sea, back to the east. This would be back toward the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean is going to be on the other side of those mountains and quite a way away. And you can see that up on Mount Arvel is very dry, but where they get water, tremendous amount of agriculture. This is what Jesus would have known as a child and as a young man. I mean, this would have been an area he would have traveled. This is what he would have seen. You know, my guess is that sometimes, maybe many times, he played on that mountain, played on that hill. You know, you would have. You're going to run and play and explore. This is what Jesus would have known. This is the area. This is the people. This was what would have influenced them. Fishing and agriculture, small towns clustered to leave the land open for other things. Mike, is there another one? Is that it? That's the modern city of Tiberias. On the hill there, which is a fairly modern city. But what you learn from that is everything in Israel, all the houses are clustered really close. They're high rises, and they're very closely clustered together because land is pretty valuable, isn't it? And it all has some historical significance to Christians, to Jews, to Muslims. I mean, because there's a lot that went on here and still goes on. And again, that's just another view back across where you see the landscape of Galilee. That's what it looks like. That's the area of Jesus' birth and where he spent the better part of the first 30 years of his life in this part of the world being influenced by these people. It's interesting. It's rocky. Just like here. I mean, limestone, rock, all over that part of the world. So where you get dirt grouped together, you farm it. And they even, and there'll be some pictures that we might show in later times when we show vineyards and things like that. You get all the dirt together. You just move it to a lower place or you terrace out and put the dirt there and then you build around that. What dirt you got, you make the most of because they don't have a lot of dirt. And a lot of their structures, the outer walls would be the limestone. You know, they would just dig out the limestone going down the hill. So houses kind of stagger down the hill and you build out against the wall. But I just think it's interesting that it's kind of mountainous or we'd call it kind of hilly. They're not big, tall mountains, most of them. And there's limestone, not unlike Middle Tennessee. It sits in a basin, much like we do. But that's the area where Jesus spent most of his earthly life, in the Galilee. But the scripture also that Matthew said there were also people from Jerusalem and Judea that followed Jesus. Because Jesus would go down to the temple, but he spent most of his time teaching in the synagogues. In the synagogue. And that's where the teaching went on. Worship occurred at the temple. That's where sacrifice took place, at the temple. But the synagogue is where scripture was read. Because you remember Jesus reads the scripture about the coming of the Messiah, and you remember what he says? This scripture has been fulfilled today in your hearing. But they would read scripture and they would discuss it. In fact, the synagogue of Capernaum is still there. The ruins of that synagogue. And it's no further from here to the back wall from Peter's house. What, since the 3rd century, people have believed was Peter's house. There is a church built over it that Peter's house was right outside of the synagogue, and that's what we know from the book of Acts. So the synagogue was there, and Jesus would have been in the synagogue. He would have been in Peter's home. They would have been right by the sea, and this is where a lot of the teaching of Jesus went. But he would go down into Judea and teach as well. Because in Judea, we have obviously Jerusalem, we have Bethany, we have Jericho, cities that play an important role. Jericho was important because what do we know about Jericho? From back in the Old Testament. First city that Israel took when they crossed the Jordan, right, was Jericho. Who is probably one of the most famous, in our time at least, most well-known, most well-remembered citizens of Jericho from the 1st century? Anybody remember? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the wee little tax collector, was from Jericho. It was in Jericho that he climbed the sycamore fig to see Jesus. So Jesus spends most of his time in Galilee. But he does teach. He makes several trips to Judea. And the reason we know most about that is the vast majority of the Gospels focus around the last few days of Jesus' life. And that takes place in Jerusalem. But the most of his ministry took place in Galilee. And Jerusalem is the place of religion and learning. Galilee is fishermen and agriculture. And that's why they are so astounded in Acts 2 when these men are speaking different languages. Because why? They're from Galilee. There's a little bit of a prejudice against Galilee. But mainly it's because they're fishermen and farmers, nothing wrong with that, but they're not educated. But these men are speaking languages they haven't learned. Now you know why people felt that way, because this is not the place of learning. These were just small little towns around Galilee that people lived and worked, and mostly worked with their hands, and would have exported some foods even then, because this is part of a trade route that runs from Egypt all the way to Babylon, would have crossed. That's why so many things happen in the Middle East, because geographically it's not large, but it's at a crossroads between north and south, between Egypt and Babylon, between the Assyrian and Babylonian empires. And so you had to come through this area. So everybody traveled there. Why? It wasn't very large. It was significant. And so in its significance, people were familiar with the religion of Israel. And as Christianity spreads, it spreads from here because people would have moved. People would have traveled through, would have carried trade. And so that's where Jesus begins his ministry. And what do we know? Again, what Sam read for us this morning. Jesus went throughout Galilee, and we saw most of it from Mount Arvel. I mean, that's Galilee. You've seen it. Teaching in their synagogues, and every town would have had a synagogue. Preaching the good news of the kingdom. And that's important as we move through the rest of the Gospels, that Matthew says, not just preaching the good news of salvation, which is a part of the kingdom message, but the good news of the kingdom. Because the gospel encompasses more than just salvation. Just salvation. I got asked the question this week by a gentleman on the street, and I can't remember, I think it was in Murfreesboro, it might have been in Nashville, but the question was, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And that's a question we get really often. And that is important. Salvation is important. But sometimes we've taken it that the gospel plan, while Christ died for all of us, he came to seek and save that which was lost, that when there are 99 who are found, who does the shepherd go look for? The one. Those are all biblical teachings. But sometimes that concept says that the gospel is all about me. But the gospel message is about the coming of the kingdom, where Jesus is king. It's all about him. The invitation comes to us to be part of the kingdom, but it's all about the king. It's all about the king. And it's important that we realize that. Because when it becomes all about me, what happens? It becomes about what I like, what I dislike, what I don't want. But the gospel message is, the kingdom is coming. You live in a fallen world, right? Who has ruled the world? Satan, right? Of this world? Remember Satan, because death was here? Death and sickness? But the good news of the gospel is, the kingdom is coming, where Jesus rules and where the curse is lifted. And all of the problems that make the world not the great place God intended will be gone. Jesus will be king. And the invitation is, come be part of the perfect kingdom. Jesus died for us that we could become part of the kingdom. But it's not just about us. It's about us being a part of his kingdom. That's the message of the Gospels. That everything will be made new and right. And we get to be a part of it. Teaching the good news of the kingdom. And people came not only from Galilee, from Jerusalem and Judea, but even from those areas of the Decapolis, those areas that were outside of the control of Israel itself. But those folks came and they heard and they followed because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, coming to rule, to make things right. Ushering in the kingdom. The invitation is to be part of the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount will talk about the importance of following the teachings of Jesus. But the underlying principle of the Sermon on the Mount is this. This is how people of God's kingdom live. That's what it is. It's Jesus saying, this is how people of the kingdom live. You're invited to be part of the kingdom. And this is what the kingdom is about. So as we study this, remember, this is about studying the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. If you need to come today to be part of that kingdom, we'd invite you to do that while we stand and sing.